Good morning. I'm Donna Quinn. And for the next half hour, you'll be listening to Talk of Our Towns. The Lower Columbia River defines the culture of this region. But unless you fish, or you know a fisherman, a bar pilot, or you have your own boat, it can be challenging. How do you actually get out into the river and on the water to experience the beauty and power of this great river of the West? Now there is a new opportunity for people of all ages, for visitors, for locals, for anyone who wants to experience the river with Columbia River Ecotours. Today I have in the studio with me Captain Christopher Lloyd, and we're going to be talking about some of the new ways in which people can explore the Columbia River here right out of Astoria, Oregon. Thanks so much for being here today, Christopher.
Thank you, Donna, and thank you for having me.
Absolutely, Chris. I'm very fortunate because I've gotten to be on your boat. But before we talk about your boat and the tours, most of the listening audience would probably like to know about Captain Christopher Lloyd, and I'm going to call you Chris, if that's all right.
That would be great. Thank you.
Okay.
Well, I've been here in the Cannon Beach, Seaside, Astoria area for about the past 10 years, and came here. I have a degree in ocean engineering and oceanography. And absolutely love boats. And I guess I'll give a plug here for Mertz, because I lived in the Seaside area for almost 10 years and really didn't know about the Mertz campus of Clatsop Community College. And I found out about them and the program over there, and I was able to go and do a self-study course. It took me about 2 months to do the actual study work to qualify for my Coast Guard captain's license. So if anybody out there in the listening audience doesn't know about Mertz, you definitely need to look into them. They are wonderful.
Why don't you explain the acronym? What does Mertz actually mean?
It's Marine Environmental Research Training Station. And I'm not familiar with everything that they do out there, but I know that they teach the basic curriculum for folks like myself who have had ocean and sea experience to go on to get their captain's license. They have a modularized program which streams you through the ordinarily obtuse government difficulties that, you know, sorry Coast Guard, but sometimes it's kind of hard to get through you. And Mertz really helps navigate that area.
Well, obviously you've loved water, the ocean, all that because you got your degree. And what did you intend to do with that degree then?
Well, I think when I first went in for that, I grew up in Santa Fe, New Mexico, and learned how to scuba dive in a place called the Blue Hole, which was 25 yards across and about 100 feet deep. And so I think, as I've told you before or mentioned, I was a real Jacques Cousteau lover. So I ended up doing the diving in New Mexico and then went out to Southern California and got certified. And then went to school in Florida for oceanography and ocean engineering. And I was on my way to MIT to continue in oceanography when I decided that I could probably make a better living as an engineer. So I made a fateful decision and became a coastal engineer rather than an oceanographer. And so now, at just over 50 years old, I'm able to get back to the oceanography, I'm able to get back to the boat, I'm able to get back to the things that really drew my heart in the first place.
And what made you decide to buy a boat and become an eco-tour operator?
Well, let's see. I was I was working as a hospital administrator about 3 years ago. And I took a walk on the docks at the Westmoreland Basin, and I ran across Captain Jim's 40-foot Tollycraft down there. And I thought, boy, this boat has beautiful lines. So I started looking on the internet to try and find a Tollycraft, and I eventually found one in Tacoma in the Puget Sound. And so it's an incredible story. I found this boat and got on it and headed up the Puget Sound. And I don't know if anybody out there in your listening audience knows about Robert Tollycraft. Tollefson, but he's a great guy. So I looked him up on the internet, and it turns out that he's 98 years old. So when I docked the boat in a little place called Port Ludlow, I walked 4.5 miles over to his house and knocked on his door. His caretaker came to the door and said, "Well, you know, who are you?" And I said, "Well, I'm this young man who bought one of these Tollycraft boats. Can I speak to Mr. Tollefson?" He said, "Well, let me see if he's here." And so he eventually, Mr. Tollycraft, or Mr. Tollefson, came to the front door and invited me into his marine library. And we spent about the next 45 minutes discussing boats and everything that's gone on in his life. He was, I think I said, he's almost 98 years old at the time. And what really kind of astounded me is lots of folks, friends and family members, had told me not to do that journey alone. There was only one person who didn't tell me to go who told me not to go the journey alone, and that was a 98-year-old Mr. Tollefson. And I kind of looked at that and I thought, here's a guy with all of this experience, and yet he's telling me, yeah, go for it alone. It was kind of like he still wanted to go.
Everyone else was worried and said, don't take the boat by yourself. It's a brand. You just had purchased this boat.
Exactly.
And they said, wait, this is a brand new boat, and you fell in love with it, and it's a gorgeous boat. And just go ahead, take it up there. And everyone else said, no, don't. But he encouraged you and said, yes.
Absolutely. Yeah, and it was a wonderful journey down. I mean, I don't know when the last time has been that you've been out on the water, but when you get out on the water, and especially on the Pacific Ocean, around sunset time, the colors take on a hue that's just incredible. It's just beautiful out there.
Well, you have a safe boat. Tell us about the boat, because tell us about the name of the boat and all of that.
I have a boat named the Christina Cousteau. And as I was telling these folks here in the studio, this is I'm the fourth owner, and her names have been previously. She is the Christina Cousteau, who was a swell dancer on the Isle of Capri as an impudent lass. And she is a 40-foot Tollycraft sport fisher, and she's got about a 15-foot beam on it, so she is very steady. I've got a family members who have gotten seasick on other boats, and they don't get seasick on this boat.
Well, this is a luxury yacht, really.
It absolutely is, and one of the things in doing this particular type of an eco-tour business that I've been telling folks is that we've got a full kitchen and full bathroom facilities, a couple of couches, a lounge chair, you know, lots of comfortable places to enjoy the boat.
You can be inside or out, and I think that's important. There, sometimes there are eco tour operators who have open boats on the Columbia River. That might be a little bit challenging, because you just never know what the weather's going to be. And you can certainly go out even if there's a drizzle, because I mean, obviously, you're not going to go out in huge storm conditions, I would assume.
Correct. We're not going to go out in huge storm conditions, but as you said, you can go out and drizzle because it's got a fully enclosed cabin, fully heated. And then, of course, we've got the fly bridge up top, which is covered by canvas as well. So,
why don't you tell us then a little bit about Columbia River Eco Tours and where you take people on these tours? You're at the West Mooring Basin. You're in Slip D7. What happens when people show up and see your beautiful boat and your smiling face, because you're so happy? This is what you wanted to do for a long time.
well, we climb aboard as we did last week, and we come out of the West Mooring Marina, come by the Cannery Hotel, go by the entire waterfront of Astoria, which is very interesting from the water side. I mean, we're also used to seeing it from, you know, Commercial Avenue. And, you know, to see it from the water side is totally different. It's beautiful. And so we come up. First real stop is up above, almost to Pier 39 at the East Mooring Basin. And I always like to duck in there because the sea lions are there. And I know that, you know, sea lions have kind of a bad rep with some of the fishermen, but the tourists love them. And so I always take the tourists and also the locals up there, because they're just fun creatures to see.
You call them the singing sea lions.
I call them the singing sea lions. The other day when we went by filming a little tour package, they were a little bit quiet, and all you have to do is make some of the noises, and then right away they join in with you.
So it's an interactive tour with the sea lions.
Absolutely, it helps you get out a lot of aggression. I mean, you can say a lot of things to those sea lions in their language very quickly.
Oh, great, that's fun. Okay, so then you go from the sea lions.
Go there and I go by Pier 39. I do that because I really love the Rogue Restaurant and the Coffee Girl there, and also the Four Winds Canvas Place. There's just some great places at Pier 39. It's a wonderful spot. So I stop by there and then go up to the Coast Guard Station. Coast Guard Station is really interesting because they've got the buoy tender. And the buoy tender is a big Coast Guard vessel that basically handles the maintenance for all of the buoys throughout the Columbia River system. So it's a very interesting stop. We get to that point and go around Tongue Point. And one thing that always completely blows me away is that the water off Tongue Point goes from about 30 feet deep to a pothole there in the middle of about 140 feet deep, which some of the old timers tell me that was a good place for fish. I don't know if it is anymore, but that's what I've heard. We go around there and back into the dock system of the old Navy Yard. And really, as soon as you hit that area, you get to Mott Island, and that begins the Lewis and Clark National Wildlife Refuge. And then from that point, you get into the Eagle Sanctuary. And that whole area really gets interesting for me because the wildlife back there is very diverse. We've seen eagles, we've seen osprey, we've seen great blue herons. One of the neatest things about the osprey back there is about a year and a half ago, there was a mom nesting with two of her little birds. And my family and I were on board the boat, and the two little birds were just talking to us, making all kinds of noise. Well, then the mama osprey came and flew from overhead down into the nest and must have told them very succinctly to shut up. Because as soon as she got out of there, we tried to get them to talk again, and they would not say a peep. They wouldn't even put their eyes above the nest level. It was great. Going up from that point, again, I've gotten together with some of the folks that have been here in Astoria for a long time to take me up into the back slough areas. So we go into Blind Slough, and again, for me, just learning that area, it's so interesting. We've got one of the Sitka spruce forests back there, which is just gorgeous. You lose all sight of any kind of telephone wires or houses, roads, everything like that. Then you get to Blind Slough itself, which has this incredible hand-cranked railroad bridge that used to go across the water. And there's salmon nurseries up there. It's a fascinating place. I love it.
There are so many things you cannot see except from the water.
Absolutely.
You have to be in a boat on the water to be able to see these things and to go in those narrow channels and see some of the floating homes, some of the duck blinds. It is serene and picturesque. I was fortunate enough to be able to go and see some of that with you. So that and you never know what you're going to have in terms of an adventure because you don't know what's going to happen when you go out.
Correct. I mean, it's, you know, what's beautiful about going into those areas behind Tongue Point is no matter how rough it may happen to be on the Columbia on a particular day, once you get behind Tongue Point, it becomes fairly glassy. It's a really nice place to be able to float and see things.
If you've just tuned in, you're listening to Talk of Our Towns. I'm your host, Donna Quinn, and my guest today is Captain Christopher Lloyd of Columbia River Ecotours. And you can visit his website at ColumbiaRiverEcotours.com. And he also has a phone number. I can give you that, and I will leave it at the station afterwards as well. His number is 503-468-9197. And he is offering ecotours along with some special packages, too, with some of the local hotels. But what makes it an ecotour, Chris? I know that ecotourism and geotourism, which honor sense of place, and they help educate people about the region so that they have a better appreciation of it. It's not tourism which takes away, but in fact enhances and adds to. What made you decide to do these ecotours?
Don, I think ecotours for me, it gives me and anybody else a hands-on experience. I mean, you can read about, you know, wildlife. You can read about what it feels like to be on the Columbia River estuary. You can read about what it was like for Lewis and Clark. But when you get out there and you're on the water and you're floating and you're feeling the motion of the river, the sights, the sounds, the smells, You know, everything that's out there, it just draws you into that sense of place and into an ecological, I guess, I would say mindset, you know, and then you can come back and apply whatever you've learned, whatever you've read, or whatever you're going to continue learning in the future to that actual experience of being there. And it just opens up an entirely different world.
You have several different tours. You have a 4-hour eco tour.
Correct.
You have worked out some arrangements with a local hotel where you have a sunset cruise, and you also have a 2-hour eco tour.
Correct. Yeah.
And you're looking at, I know, doing some things with the bicentennial, and you're really, because you've just started this business, it's brand new.
Yes, it is.
And you are looking at ways in which to involve the community and help be an educational component, as well as providing, you know, an adventure and experience on the water.
Absolutely. We've got a 4-hour tour, a 2-hour tour, and a sunset tour, as you mentioned. But I'm open, you know, to taking individual groups out or anything that might work on a particular day. One really neat thing that's happening in a couple of weeks is the Warrenton Astoria Chamber of Commerce here got a call from a private school up in Seattle full of 8th graders that always come to Astoria and do a Lewis and Clark tour. And I think they've done it for the past 3 to 5 years, and the kids are bored now. They've done it. They've known. And so the teachers wanted to do something different. So they called the Chamber of Commerce and they found me. They came down and saw the boat, and I went up to Astoria and did a presentation for their class. And so they're coming down. We're splitting.
You went to Astoria, Seattle.
I went to Seattle yeah.
And made a presentation there.
Made a presentation at their school. So they're bringing the class down, and we're splitting them up into the appropriate safe numbers for my captain's license and all of those things. And then those kids are going to get to go out. You know, so again, and as you said, you know, with the local hotel here in town, the sunset tours, there's just some wonderful opportunities that are coming up that I, quite frankly, didn't see. You know, so if anybody out there in your listening audience has any additional ideas for, you know, me to be able to take people out on the water, please give me a call. I'd love to hear them.
And I know that you also have said that you would welcome old timers or people who are really familiar with the river, the region, the weather, everything, to come and tell you their stories. You want to collect stories about the river to share with people and have people share with you.
Absolutely. I mean, I've got a few of my own from just the river and from being on the boat and the experiences that I've garnered. But, you know, I'm sure that there's people in this community that, you know, have been here for the past 60, 70, 80 years. That know things that, and especially about the river that, you know, probably all of us as a community have never really heard, you know. So I would love to gather those, you know, those stories. I mean, you know, perhaps we could have a visiting guide for a particular day come out and be able to describe what they've done on the river. You know, all of those things I'm open to, because it's just great to get people who've actually been there and have wonderful memories and stories of this area.
Storytelling on the Columbia, on the Eco Tours.
Storytelling on the Columbia.
That's a wonderful idea. It really is, Chris. What is it that you hope people will come away with? Because one of the things, I guess, I feel, I was fortunate enough to go out with you a couple of weeks ago. It really, until you really are out there, you don't know how you're going to feel about something, about the experience. But it does help you have a deeper appreciation and understanding about why this river is so special, why so many of the old timers, whether it's the fishermen or people who have lived along this river for so many generations, that there's a magic in this river. People say there's a magic in the Columbia River. Mm. Have you felt that?
Absolutely. And I would answer that question by saying that, you know, I hope that people learn, you know, some of the history and some of the facts about the river. But the reason that I'm out there is because there is a magic. You know, there's something that happens to you on the water and in your own spirit. It's one of the reasons that, you know, I will talk and I will guide when necessary and appropriate out there. But I like people to be able to come and just spend time with themselves, or, you know, their loving partner or whatever, because it's such a, it can be such an intimate moment out there, you know, not only between the people, but also, you know, just with the land and the ocean. I kind of equate it to, you're driving down the highway in your car every single day. Well, if you get out of your car and you ride a tractor out in the open, it's completely different. If you ride a bicycle, it's completely different. So once you get out on the opposite side of the land and looking back towards land and you're on the water, you'll be amazed what you feel. I mean, it's gorgeous out there.
I guess another thing is that in this world today, I feel like we are so overstuffed with information. I mean, we are just, I mean, you know, there's the what, TMI, too much information. Everybody just has. And even if you go on a tour, if you are being constantly given information, which you're trying to process through your brain, then your body, all the other senses, aren't really experiencing, because you're trying to digest a whole bunch of intellectual knowledge, information, and so you aren't experiencing it. So what I hear you saying is that you want to give people an opportunity to really, well, it sounds kind of, I don't want to be corny, but be one with the river, but really to be in that particular place without saying, and in this date such and such happened, and this happened. It's really be here, experience this, feel this river.
Absolutely, and I think a good way to describe that is one of the first things that drew me to the boat, and also doing the eco tours, is I kind of watched the way that people would come on Friday afternoon from work, and they would walk onto the docks very quickly, and their faces would be very stressed, you know, and then they'd get off the boat, and these could be their own boat or my boat. They'd get off the boat and they had a different gait. You know, things were different. Time changed a little bit. It slowed down a little bit. They, you know, they remembered how to breathe and how to look, and you know, maybe how to talk to each other and how to listen. So, you know, again, I don't want to get too corny, like you said, that it's not a, you know, it's not a solve-all for everything. But I'll tell you, some time spent on the river is just wonderful.
For the spirit. And I think people are searching for that. And you know what? I don't think it's a bad thing to be corny sometimes. I mean, I'm sorry, but truly, do we? Maybe we shouldn't apologize for being corny. I mean, and maybe there's another word for that. Maybe we just need to think about being more genuine, more real, and not having to constantly compete and prove ourselves and learn more, do more, be more. And really, as you say, I think there is a piece about the river, even though, I mean, weren't you concerned a little bit about the reputation of the Columbia for this wild weather?
Well, yes and no. I mean, we're talking about two incredibly different environments. I mean, you know, the mouth of the Columbia River, where you've got the bar and all of that, is and can be very dangerous and can change momentarily. You know, but we're talking about, you know, taking out of the West Mooring Basin and, you know, staying fairly close to the shoreline up along Astoria and getting around Tongue Point back in the, you know, gentle, smoother waters. And it's, you know, and also, if it's a bad day, we're not going to go out.
Exactly. And everybody has a different idea of what a bad day is. But at St. Andrews in Scotland, they play in the pouring rain and they don't think that there's no bad day. When you're on the water, you have to be a little more cautious about that. What has this boat done for you in terms of your family? It's obviously now given you a business. It's something you're committed to this region. You love living here. If you could say something about what the boat means, apparently right now for you, it's a way to have people experience the Columbia River.
I think I've always been a bit of a adventurer, explorer, guide type of a person. I really like to take people out to places that have been special to me. And again, not so much with an articulation of what you're seeing or the history, although that's a part of it. You know, it's more of a come out and see what's magical about this area. Come out and see what's magical about the Columbia River.
Now, these are customized tours, so people can call. So, in other words, do you have set times for the tours, or do you, if someone calls, I have a family of six people and we want to go at X time, you customize that because you're small, and so you don't have tours that run every day at certain hours. Is that correct? Is it kind of customized?
Yes, it is kind of customized. And currently, we're running tours. The four-hour tour starts at 9 o'clock and runs till 1. The two-hour tour runs from 3 o'clock until 5. And then the sunset tour from roughly 6:30 to 8 in that area. But as you've alluded to, you know, if there's a party that wants to come out on a particular day and there's not previous bookings that are already down on the line, I would be completely open into taking a look at that, seeing where people want to go, how we can accommodate them. Again, you know, with full restroom facilities and a full kitchen, you know, places to eat, everything like that, I would be open to any kind of, like a business, you know, coming out.
A group of people who want to have a little mini corporate retreat.
Right. Bring their employees out of corporate retreat, as you've said. Mm-hmm. You know, so we'd be open to all of that.
Mm-hmm. That's great. We only have another minute or so left, Chris, so I want us to make sure that people know how to reach you.
Well, as you've said, they could, and I would encourage you to go to the website, which is ColumbiaRiverEcoTours.com. There's some photos on there. There's some additional information. There's also a really cool map on there from 1887 that people can kind of see the area that we'd be going to. And also, they can give me a call, which is 503-468-9197.
And if you want to meet Chris and see the boat, or if you have a story about the Columbia River you want to share with Chris, they can go to your West Mooring Basin slip.
That's a great idea. It's the West Mooring Basin just below the Red Lion Inn, and it's slip D7.
Okay. And Chris, I guess Terry, do you have a question here? You've been out on the river for a long time. Terry's saying no, he just thinks it's a good idea to get wet. Is that what you're saying? No, you know, people don't get wet. You have all the safety equipment on board. You have everything you need there.
Correct. You'll only get wet if it's drizzling.
Okay. And even though if it is drizzling, you're still inside.
There's still a cover. You have a choice.
Right.
You know,
exactly.
We can either be outside or inside.
What happens if there's fog, Chris?
Well, it depends on the intensity of the fog. If we're out and there's fog, then I have all the instrumentation, radar, GPS, knowledge of the route that we're taking, you know, to be able to keep everybody safe.
That's good to know.
And if it's really foggy, you know, before we went out, we might choose not to go.
Exactly. So you do, it is a little bit weather dependent, although I like that you say rain or shine, a great adventure filled with memories. And I love that we were able to get up so close to these giant ships. That is so exciting to be able to just go right next to them. Oh, that was amazing. Well, Chris, thank you so much. I know that you will do very well with Columbia River Eco Tours because people want to know what the Columbia River is about. And this is a way to do that, to get on the water. So thank you very much.
Thank you so much for having me.
Absolutely. Alrighty then, I want to thank our extraordinary engineer, Terry Wilson, and local banjo instructor, Michael Brunn, for the original theme music he's written for this program and plays on his banjo. And I want to thank all of you who listen to this program, which is every Wednesday morning from 9:30 to 10, and then live streaming on the web and also airing again each evening on KCPB at 8:30 p.m. Until next week, find a moment for yourself. Today, take a deep breath with gratitude for all the good things in your life and focus on those good things, expand those good things in your life, and then give yourself a loving and compassionate hug or a pat on the back for being uniquely you, for doing the best you can, and for being here now in this moment on the amazing planet we call Earth.